Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life. There. And today we're going to talk about a couple different things. So Wednesday's show is Unbreakable Resilience, Fighting the Battle in Yourself, a guide to your to mental health. And the show is designed to give you tips and tricks and ways to understand what you're dealing with, but also how to pull yourself up and pull yourself out of it with help from services such as coaching, mental health, therapies. It's a guide to get you started in looking for the right services that'll help you. But also today we're going to start out with talking about, since it is part of Juneteenth week, and today happens to fall on Flag Day. And we don't talk about Flag Day much. I grew up with my grandma always talking about it. And she never quite could explain it, what it was and the significance. She just said it was, you know, the flag was created and, you know, we honor the flag. So we're going to spend some time today talking about that first. The origins of Flag Day. This was a resolution. This is all according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. This was a resolution adopted by the Continental Congress on June 14, 1777. The resolution was made following the report of a special committee which has been assigned to suggest the flag's design. A flag of this design was carried up into battle on September 11, 1777, in the Battle of the Brandywine. The American flag was first saluted by foreign naval vessels on February 14, 1778, when the Ranger bearing the stars and stripes and under the command of Captain Paul Jones arrived in a French port. The flags first flew over a foreign territory in early 1778 at Nassau, Bahama Island, where Americans captured the British fort. Observance of the adoption of the flag was not soon in coming, however. Although there are many claims to be the first official observance of Flag Day, all but one took place more than an entire century after the adoption of Flag Day in 1777. The first claim was from Hartford, Connecticut, celebrating the first summer of 1861. In the late 1800s, schools all over the United States held Flag Day programs to contribute to American of immigrant children, and the observance caught on by individual communities. The most recognized claim, however, comes from New York, June 14, 1889, when Professor George Bolsch, principal of Free Kindergarten for the Poor of New York City, had his school hold patriotic ceremonies in observance of the anniversary of Flag Day. This initiative attracted attention of the State Department of Education, which arranged to have the day observed in all public schools thereafter. Soon, the state legislation passed a law making it the responsibility of the state superintendent of public schools to ensure the schools hold observances for Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, and Flag Day. And in 1897, the governor of New York ordered the displaying of the flag over all public buildings in the state, an observance considered by some to be the first official recognition of the anniversary of the adoption of the flag outside of school. Think about that. It's kind of ironic that the push to observe Flag Day was actually by our school systems. And look at how far down our school systems have come. The adoption of Flag Day was on June 14, 1777, when the Continental Congress adopted the Stars and Stripes as the official flag of the United States. This date marks a historical moment when the design of the flag featuring 13 alternating red and white stripes and a blue field with white stars was first recognized. The symbol of national identity. The flag is a symbol of national unity, pride, and identity. It represents the ideals and the values upon which the United States was founded, including freedom, democracy, and individual rights. The flag serves as a visual representation of the nation's history, the people, and the aspirations. The appreciation for veterans, service members. Flag Day provides an opportunity for Americans to express gratitude and honor those who have served or are currently serving in the armed forces. The flag also represents the sacrifices, the dedication of the military personnel who defend and protect the nation. Patriotism and civic education. Flag Day encourages patriotism. It serves as a reminder of the country's history, the struggles faced, the progress made. Schools often organize activities and lessons to teach students about the significance of Flag Day and its symbolism. The respect and etiquette. Flag Day promotes the understanding of proper flag etiquette and the respect for the flag. This reminds citizens to handle and display the flag with reverence, such as by raising and lowering it properly, not allowing it to ever touch the ground, and folding it correctly when not in use. While Flag Day is an important observance in the United States, it is not a federal holiday. However, some states have made specific regulations and traditions related to the day. Celebration of Flag Day is primarily focused on honoring the flag and fostering a sense of unity and pride. And for me, I have a quick question of thought, which is, with Juneteenth being right after Flag Day, was there some kind of thought process put behind that? As we continue to build a future where every citizen realizes the principles of our flag embodies freedom and liberty, together let's create a nation that lives up in ideals, symbolized by the red, white, and blue. So as we're thinking about, you know, we've talked about this year, about Juneteenth and what that really meant. Excuse me, and the thought process behind Juneteenth and how important it is for us to take that time and remember and understand what that flag represents. You know, my kids, their school always explains things a little bit differently, but they explain it so that kids understand it. You know, when you protest the government, you're not, you got to protest the people in the government. You're not protesting the ground. You know, this country is the ground you walk on. And it's the same thing for the flag. The flag doesn't represent the people that run and in charge of everything. The flag represents all the symbols behind it, the freedom, the dedication, the giving, the perseverance, people who've given up everything and fought, continue to this day fighting for that symbol. As we go on to what we're going to talk about today, more, want you to think about what the flag represents for you and what you've taught your children what the flag means. So now we're going to transition over and we're going to talk about mental health. And we're going to talk about dopamine detox. And what is dopamine detox? Let's start with, what is dopamine? Let's start from the beginning. Because how can you detox from something you don't know what it is? So dopamine, the easiest way to explain it is the feel-good drug, the natural feel-good drug. It's what makes you happy. It's that natural high you get. Okay. Scientifically, we talk about dopamine as a neurotransmitter, which is a chemical messenger in the brain that helps transmit signals between nerve cells or neurons, and it's involved in various psychological processes and plays a crucial role in your pleasure system and your reward system. And this is crucial for you, but it's also how you raise your kids. You know, dopamine is produced in several areas of the brain. Basically, the easiest way to explain it is it's produced in a big chunk of your brain. It's also responsible for your motivating behavior, your reinforcement behavior. It released a response in rewarding stimuli, such as food, sex, other pleasurable activities. You know, the big thing is right now is, you know, social media and the whole concept of how many likes did I get, or, you know, how many people are following me, things like that. But the dopamine also has more roles. It also contributes to other important functions. You know, dopamine also controls movement. It helps regulate voluntary movements and coordination. This deficiency is associated with motor symptoms and Parkinson's. It controls your moods and your emotions. It helps you regulate your moods and stabilizes your emotions. It influences how you feel towards things. It also gives you drive, your self-satisfaction. Dopamine levels have been linked to various, you know, mental health conditions such as depression and schizophrenia. It also helps with your cognitive functions. Dopamine is essential for things such as attention, learning, your memory. It helps modulate the flow of information in different regions of the brain. Why, hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Hey, guess
awesome,
what today
awesome.
Is? I know you don't know.
Today is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. What's today, Mary?
Flag Day.
It's what?
Flag Day.
What day? You speaking Russian?
Flag Day. You know, it's not a federal holiday, but it's a holiday. It's the day. You missed the first half of my show. It's the day that the flag was adopted. The stars and stripes and bars were adopted as the United States official flag and symbol.
Ah, well, I did not know that. But they say you're supposed to learn something new every day. So thank you for sharing that with me. Flag Day.
As I was, I popped up on my screen and I had a thought about it. Because, you know, So we have Flag Day is June 14th, and that was the day it was designed. And the flag represents the freedom, represents, you know, the honor of the military, it represents so many things. Well, was Juneteenth planned to be the right after Flag Day, or was it a coincidence?
Wow. Never thought about that, Mary.
I didn't either until I started going through this stuff.
But see, I have a whole bunch of thoughts, too. When you say Flag Day, I just had a reflection because I had just talked to somebody earlier about the flag. When I was in school, I'm an old schooler. I'm an OG. When we got the classroom after they called the roster and made sure that I was there, Country Boy, here. Leonard, here. Mary, here. You're not, I mean, they did it in the classroom, Mary, not just in the military. They had cadence call, but in school, they had a call to make sure that everybody that was standing under our flag was present. Everybody that was standing under our flag, they asked everybody that respected our flag, whether you wanted to or not, to please stand to your feet, and we're going to say, I pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under Buddha. No. One nation under Krishna. No. One nation under God. Oh, yeah. The God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It was all represented to the flag, and then they took it another step further, and they put it on what they call, back in the other days, it was right next to the flag. They call it greenbacks. Oh, some people call it money or currency. Right on the bottom of the currency, they printed, In God We Trust, on money. But see, Mary, the flag is not being honored the way that it used to be. Other night, I was watching how many people bloops and blunders on not being able to sing the Star Spangled Banner. We won't call no names. All the names have been changed to protect the guilty and the innocent. But it's amazing how so many people that live here in the great U.S. of A. and understand that you, congratulations and happy Veterans Day. You didn't ever say, I don't feel like being a soldier and I don't feel like fighting today. At least they give you guys one day to where they recognize our veterans. And, of course, and for the flag in which we stand. So, Mary, I kind of just stopped right there because even though we still fly under the great stripes and stars, a lot of people don't understand what lives were lost, what tears were shed, and what hearts were crushed because of the United States flag that represents one nation under what I call love. We,
you know,
have a flag that we respect.
When you talk about that, what comes to mind are two things, or three things, sorry. Hiroshima, or no, the flag raising, Normandy, World War II, when they raised the flag up on the hill.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The flag draped over the Pentagon after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And the flag being hung over the beams at 9/11 as we're pulling
mm-hmm.
out people.
In remembrance of what happens when we go to battle and we fight. And anytime you go to battle, you're going to have blood and tears. And possibly there's going to be someone that you lose in the midst of the battle. But even though we know that in the midst of battle, every time somebody dies, there's new life born. So it still goes on. It's a never-ending battle of good versus evil. I'm glad. I am so glad to be in that number to where we are the part of the free people here in America that have a right to choose because of what our soldiers did in upholding our rights to be free, and again, under those stars and stripes in which we proudly stand.
You know what blows my mind is listening to these three-year-olds and four-year-olds that can sing the anthem, professional singers. They're so heartfelt, mm-hmm. and it's so on key and so perfect that you have to tear up when you hear it.
But they sing really the words. They don't hum through the verses that they don't know. That's what I'm pointing out. We're going to use the children to confound the wise. The children in America can still sing the national anthem. But I guarantee you, and I'm not picking on us old people, but we do have to change our minds and have a new mindset. We were talking about it the other week on several calls, Mary. Forgive them, Father, because they know not. We keep pleading ignorance. We care enough to share enough information with you so that you'll know what you need to know in order to be able to grow. I said, Mary, no, I did not know that, but thank you for sharing information. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we're in the information stage, and knowledge is power. And even though we're talking about the flag, we're talking about this thing called life. Life is a series of choices that we make, and if somebody chooses to be ignorant, oh, I forgot to tell you, the root word for ignorance is ignore. Ignore. Now that we know better, we can do better. If we understand what the battle is about, what we gain, what we lost, we will have a greater appreciation for the flag in which we stand. That's just bottom line. If you don't understand, don't plead ignorance. Do a little research. Ask somebody like Mary that knows. And before I knew you, Mary, I had a personal assistant. Guess what her name was?
Siri or Google?
Yeah, if you don't know, ask YouTube. If you can't read so well, tell them to play a video so you can just watch it so that you'll know better so you can do better. If you don't appreciate the flag, don't understand the stars, don't understand the stripes, ask somebody.
Well, you know, and that's the one thing I'm thankful for, the one thing that my kids at school is thankful for. And here's the cool thing about Flag Day. And this is what we were talking about earlier before you came on. How low our school system has come. The first Flag Day, do you think it was celebrated through the schools or through the government?
Which one or neither?
The school. The first recorded Flag Day was celebrated by the school systems in New York.
My question is, sorry to interrupt you, how did they leave the flag and take away God?
You want the real answer?
That's what I wanted to know. I pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under God. You and I are still talking the same conversation. We just call it one nation under love. One nation under love. Love, oh, I forgot to tell you. He says, I am that I am that I am. I am love. So regardless on whether your stripes are vertical, whether your stripes are horizontal, whether you're a Jamaican flag or whether you're the Russian flag, everybody flies under a banner of some kind. Just because your banner is not the same color as mine, just because your stripes are not vertical and mine are horizontal, doesn't mean one nation. We're talking about all the people now. One nation under the God that we serve, and we talked about it earlier. You can call him by a thousand different names. I'm not singling out nobody's religion and nobody's flag. We understood that religions are a learning institution for you to get a closer relationship with who you say your creator is. I call him the divine creator. You can call him Yahweh. You can call him Krishna. You can call him whatever you want to call him, as long as you call him. But when it comes to the flag in which we stand, it's one nation under love. Whether you have stars, stripes, one star and not 50 stars, we're still a people of God, one nation under God, regardless on the flag in which you stand. And the close right there, you remember what they said, the flag in which you stand for, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
That is true. So I actually watched a documentary on that and how God was taken out of school and why they took it out of the Pledge of Allegiance. All due to a woman who was an atheist and didn't believe in God and fought and won in the Supreme Court.
Wow. Well, you know what? Even when I started understanding and overstanding what an atheist is, they told me that an atheist doesn't believe in God. But you heard me just say you have to believe in something. So if you don't believe that there is a God, what do you believe in? The elementary to every religion, regardless of what the denominational faith is, it says, and I quote, "One must, not maybe, one must believe." That's elementary faith, regardless on what religion you're in. After you're in the elementary faith, or what we call belief, hopefully somewhere during the middle school of life, your belief will graduate to knowing. After you've lived a little while, you'll know in your knower that you know that you know that you know that you know. Oh, by the way, that's one of them infinity words, that you know that you know that you know that you know in your knower that you know. That's a little bit beyond belief. But where we are now, regardless on whether you're in China, regardless on whether you're in Russia, regardless on whether you're chilling in the Philippines, we're broadcasting to 92 countries. In 60-something languages. You have to be somewhere in your faith. I'm not talking about my faith. I'm talking about your faith. You have to be somewhere in your faith to where you've arrived at trusting. From belief to knowing to trusting. If you're not at the trust position in your life to whoever you say you worship or believe in, Houston, I think we're going to have a problem. That's what's happening.
Well, ironically,
we don't believe nothing noble.
As you say that, he's going to have a problem. The lady that actually sued, won, and lost to have, her name was Madeline Murray O'Hare, and she was all about the First Amendment, separation of church and state. So God was supposed to be taken out of anything to do with the public, with schools and life. Came because she was caught somebody embezzling out of her charity or her fund, her organization, to get prayers out of schools and stuff like that. She was kidnapped with her son and her granddaughter. And
so they followed her. I'm not following you, Mary. That's one of the things that they rule in her favor, that she had a good reason for them
to
even listen.
It wasn't she had a good reason. She just made a lot of noise. She would create the Atheist Press, which is writings out in Texas, their own paper, their own organization, and she would took up a lot of media. She paid for media time. So she was in your face. She had no problem standing there screaming you down because you're wearing a cross. She was that against religion. Well, it became even worse down the road because one of her sons ended up becoming Baptist and just ended up disowning her and wrote a book about his life growing up with her and how horrible she was and how mean and stuff like that. Well, right before she passed away, she disappeared for like 20 years. Her other son and her son's daughter. Well, it turned out that the man that she fired for embezzling funds from her company basically hired someone to kidnap her and them and dispose of her. But she was the most hated woman in Texas.
Wow. Now, while you're talking, Mary, you know how I jump right back in there? I'm just thinking, I was hearing Marvin Gaye singing in the background. I'm sitting out here at the lake at Water's Edge in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and as I said, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. But while you was talking, I was just thinking, Marvin Gaye sang the national anthem. They said he sang it better than anybody before in history. But while he was singing, I was humming, "The world ain't going to get no better." We say ain't down here in the South. "The world ain't going to get no better if we just let it be. We got to change the world, starting with you and starting with me." Mary, you know I joke around with you all the time. Girl, we get ready to start a revolution. We get ready to start a revolution. How can one woman that nobody has ever heard of, probably, do what she just did? I had a mentor. Most people might even know who he is. His name was Dr. Martin Luther King, who says, and I quote, "Country boy, I've been around the world more than one time, and I'll probably go again. I've seen all different types of flags. I've seen all different types of cults. I've seen all different types of religions. I've seen all different kinds of evil. But what I want to know is, kids are getting bullied. Evil is always near around, even those things that we know are good. Evil always seems to want to show up and hang out with us." He says, and I quote, "When are them so-called religious people going to start to stand up for their rights?" It says in that little book that I was reading, if we see something that's not right, that not just, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't know if she was cult. I don't know if she was atheist. I don't know what religion, what denominational faith. But did you see that this woman stood up? She didn't have to scream. She didn't have to shout. She had some money and she bought some media. They say seeing is believing. If we put it on the boob tube and put it in front of them and put it in front of them and put it in front of them, maybe sooner or later they'll believe what I'm saying. That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to put some stuff in their face like we've been doing for years with the Hope Foundation. I'm changing conversation. I went from flags to first responders, Mary. I'm sorry. I went from flags to veterans who fought for the flag. All these things that we've been standing idly by and see that 70% of the veterans that come home from fighting in a war that we was too scared to go fight in are now sleeping under bridges, homeless, standing on the corner saying, "I work for food," and yet the United States government, yeah, I'm talking about you, turn your head and act like they don't even know who they are, like they're missing in action after they came home from the war, and about 60 to 70% of them are dying from suicide. But nobody sees what's going on while they fought under the great stars and stripes. What's happening to our first responders? What's happening to our veterans while everybody's sitting idly by and acting like they don't see nothing that's going on? But one woman, not a whole bunch of Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Green Beret, Special Forces, can have nothing in America change, but one little woman who wants to stand up in the media can change the world. Wow.
Well, country boy, this is Ryan Clayton, the president of the Hope Foundation.
Hello, I do, President.
I want you to know something. You don't have to say that. I appreciate it. But we are one of the groups and one of the group of people who are standing up. We are making a difference. We are proactive. We are intentionally doing things, making things happen, making available services. We don't talk about it. We do it. And though we're not on the front page of the news or the new television, we just keep doing it day in and day out. You're part of that team. And you have a spirit and a love because you want it to happen. We want it all to happen and we want it to go away. It's so huge. It's bigger than any of us, so it's going to take more than any of us together. We can make it that. But individually, it's not enough. But we can make a difference. And I go to bed at night. I sleep real well because I know every day this show is one area that opens the light to the world. And we have people who are welcome to share their heart and their spirit and their concerns, like you. And we share and allow you to say, I'm not happy. We haven't done enough. And you are part of the Pied Piper group that are leading the way to actively, intentionally find solutions. You can be commended for that. And I want you to know that. Joel called it the cycle of appreciation. Because what we're doing is we're helping people realize that there is and there are and there's still many people that are still caring in this world. The guys and the people who don't care get the attention. They get the front page news. And the front page company, organization, the media, they make their money by showing failure, destruction, horrible things. That's what they make their money on. What they should do is they should be taking money and doing things to help those people instead of just saying, look, there's all these people under the bridge. Oh, why don't they go do something? They've got the money. They make millions and billions. They can take and give some money, even if they start in one place, in one city. That would be a contribution of making a solution. And we talk about solutions at home because that's what we're all about. Helping others to help them help others. That's us being. Gotta go, but I always wanted, I had a few seconds to call in here in between my stops, but I had to call in. Mary, have a great day. Country
hey,
boys, great
Ron.
Talking with you. Yeah.
Happy Flag Day.
Well, thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Adios.
Hi. Thanks, Ron.
So
Mary,
the cool thing is. Go ahead.
No, ladies first. Go ahead, babe.
Okay, so the cool thing is, and we're going to talk about this more on Friday, on the Friday show, is that the man that is deemed the father of Flag Day, that has spent his whole life to make it a national holiday, started doing it when he was a schoolboy back in 1888.
Wow. Mary, you use that word. Here comes my brain coming at you again. When you said boy, if I was on one of them game shows and they said fill in the blank, you said boy, I would say scouts. But then when I said boy scouts to you, Mary, you said country, did you know something? I said, I know a little bit of something, but what do you want me to know? Did you know boy scouts are not just boys? Oh, it took me back to where I said men. Men has no gender. Women, men. We're equal in essence. We're just different in function. Mary pointed out to me that the Boy Scouts of America is not just boys. It's women, too. They are included in these men. No gender. Men has no gender. We're equal in essence. We're different in functions. I can't do what Mary can do. She can't do what I can do. I don't have a womb. Mm-hmm. She don't have a... Mm-hmm. We're different. But that's why we want you guys to understand. We're calling you out. We're calling you out regardless of where you are. We want every man, every woman, every boy and every girl to come together to help make for a better world. Yeah, We want you to come for and love your very, very, very best. Oh, I forgot to tell you, anything less than your best is absolutely unacceptable. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we got enough love in our whole collection right now to make the world go around. What does it take? It takes love to make the world go around, but not unless you're willing to get up and do something. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be helping. Lynn Cain, we partnered up with him, Golden Rule Society. The man is a Navy man, a Navy fight pilot. Yeah, a fighter pilot. Y'all thought it was Tom Cruise. Nope. It was Lynn Cain, Top Gun, best fighter pilot on the planet. Flown enough air miles to go to the moon 7 times and back. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Last year, flying under them same stars and stripes, he was nominated and won international, you know, that covers all the flags, international humanitarian man of the year award. Oh, I forgot to tell you, you can't nominate yourself for international humanitarian man of the year. You got to get up and do something. But see, he partnered up with the man that y'all just heard. That's our new president. I like that word. Our former president went on to a better place, but we got us a new president because God said he's getting ready to do a new thing. So he sent Ron Clayton over there in Lynn Cain Golden Rule Society. He says, treat other people the way that you would like to be treated. Doesn't matter if you're in Russia. Doesn't matter if you're in China. Doesn't matter if you're in Miami or the great USA. We want you to understand that kindness don't cost you nothing. We don't care if you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail. You can still be kind. But when he partnered up with a whole collection, Ron Clayton says, we got to create something really unique. What's that going to be, Ron? Hope. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Hope is the grandfather, the mother nature for something you call faith. You didn't even read that on the little book right there. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you have nothing to hope for, you have nothing to activate that little mustard seed of faith that you said you had. We have things over here at the Hope Collection. We call it Hope for You, and they'll invite people like Country Boy, the person that lives in Atlanta, Georgia. They call it the Dirty, Dirty South. Don't mind getting dirty with you. He's a translator, y'all. He took it from his grandmama. It didn't come from the White House. It comes from the grandmother's house. She says, baby, it's a blessing to be a blessing. Oh, I heard it from Shakespeare. He gave it to Hamlet. He paid it for it and gave it to my grandmama. My grandmama gave it to me. It's a blessing to be. Now, when I say one nation under love, flying under the banner of friendship, flying under the banner of hope, flying under the banner of it's a blessing to be a blessing. Why? Because we care. We care enough to share enough information with you so that you'll know what you need to know in order to be able to grow. And I'm landing right here, Mary. We want you guys to stand up to speak out. You don't have to scream. You don't have to shout. We just want you to courageously, did y'all hear that word? Courageously stand up and speak out. We need to come forth with more love. We need to keep practicing it, keeping in mind that practice doesn't mean you get perfect. Practice means you only get better and better and better and better at whatever it is that you do. Here's the twist. Don't miss it. Then I'm going to hush. Do unto others before they do unto you. Because when you give some love away, some hope away, and some kindness away, eventually it will come back your way. That's what we call the cycle of appreciation. Whatever you put out there will eventually come right back to you. Back to you, Mary.
All right.
Did I blow you away, Mary? You got to unmute yourself, baby. Holla if you hear me. I know I'm on back of Stone Mountain behind the largest piece of granite on the planet, but can you hear me now?
Now can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I got a little wind there, Mary.
No, I was having an issue with my mic. I bumped it. Better?
I got a little wind there. I don't know if I'm still flying under the flag or not. But we just want people to know that there's different nationalities, different flags, different banners, but we all fly under the banner of love. We just want you to understand that whatever you do, wherever you are, and whatever you do, we want you to come forth and love your very best, which allows all of us to do extraordinary things on ordinary days by simply passing love, hope, and kindness somebody else's way.
All right. So we're going to switch gears for a little bit, and we're going to continue this on tomorrow. We're going to talk about dopamine and dopamine detoxing. And before we get into what detoxing is and the dopamine, we're going to talk about what different issues you could be struggling with that could give you reasons to why you'd want to detox from dopamine. Now, first of all, it's the feel-good drug. It's your natural feel-good drug.
For those of you who don't know what dopamine is, there is a process that your body grows through mentally called reuptake. Reuptake is like gearing yourself up to like be up and be happy and be fulfilled. And so your brain goes through reuptake. What it gives the body is that dopamine. And that is definitely a drug. Your body definitely receives it and responds positively if you know what you're doing. Go.
But it also not just deals with your
right
there, yeah, that mic is in and out, Mary.
All right, hang on. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay, are you coming in wall to wall, treetop tall now, whatever you did, Mary?
I unplugged my mic.
All right.
All
That's
right.
Much better,
baby. So, affects your cognitive function, which is your thought process. Your ability to learn things, your ability to remember things, your ability to pay attention. It also helps with your hormone regulation and how your body releases different hormones in your body. It also affects reproduction, your ability to raise or not. Your imbalance of dopamine has significant effects on not just your mental well-being, but your physical well-being. Low dopamine levels can have things from Parkinson's disease to why you have issues with addiction. And also ADHD, ADD, schizophrenia. Dopamine is such a wide range of things that it affects your whole body.
Well, Mary, we need to get right on there. I mean, to interrupt you, Mary, because they say it's a lie. It couldn't be so farther from the truth. What you don't know won't hurt you. I'm a college-trained individual. I know about a lot of stuff, but y'all already blowing my mind because I'm hearing things today, especially, gee, even when you spoke up. That's our Georgia. That's our juice queen, the anti-dope healing team. But you guys, if you don't know it, you can't correct it. You can't fix it. Y'all remember I said earlier we do everything over here intentionally, that we have no hidden agendas or hidden motives on what we do? We want to share news that you can use N-E-W-S that you can USE. We're getting ready to download some stuff into your spirit that's going to allow you to change your lifestyle. I'll stop right there, Mary.
Some of the things you need to look for to see if that's what you need to take a detox from or reset your system is think of addiction. You know, I grew up learning that or the story was a gateway drug. That led to harder things. It's the same thing with dopamine. Little things don't make you happy anymore. A lot of times that's labeled as depression. And you have to do bigger and more things to get you happier. Or just to be happy. Or to function. You know, a lot of blaming has been done with electronics and a constant stimulation, always social media, instant gratification all the time. Your levels also have a crucial role in your motivation. You're wanting to do something. And this is where, as a parent, you need to be careful on how you reward your children. They've done studies. I think I sent it to you, Georgette, didn't I? Where they've taken kids, put them in rooms. They had to draw. One group of kids got no reward. They were to draw whatever they want. Another group got some big fancy award, something. And they compared the two. But what they're finding out is the more you reward your kids' behavior that we deem normal, not above and beyond, they're not as willing to keep doing it later on. The kids that drew and didn't get a reward continued drawing. The kids that got that reward for drawing had to up the reward. You had to up that, give them that pleasure with something bigger and better and keep up it, keep them wanting to do it. Otherwise, they didn't want to do it anymore. You're taking the natural fun out of it. It's the same concept. You become desensitized and overstimulated. And it's reducing that your enjoyment. You know, it's like, you know, George, that you talked last week on your show about, you know, you finally stopped what you were doing, kind of detoxed yourself and started just reading a book, an actual physical book, as opposed to reading it on a screen.
But it makes me think about it now, these new things that I remember when they first told me, mentioned something called Nintendo-itis. Y'all remember that word?
What
word? It was like arthritis for kids. Nintendo-itis. The kids, it was getting something very similar to arthritis from playing digital games.
Yeah,
the thumb.
Right,
they
also get tennis elbow.
Brain.
Yeah, along with tennis elbow and tendonitis in the wrist.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who says what you don't know won't hurt you? You allow your kid to play a game for 4 hours, nonstop. Every time your thumb moves, it triggers 180 different nerves in your central membrane, which is the backside of your brain. Now, in order for those nerves to move, you need another 300 and something muscles to work to make your thumb do what it's supposed to do at that speed. So these are the kind of things that we're talking about, you guys, that we have different shows with different topics. Today, we started talking about flags. I found it hard to talk about flags and stars and stripes without talking about veterans and first responders where we first started. But now we're talking about fighting for so that we can have something leave behind for our children, and all of a sudden we jump into children conversations. And when we talk about kids, we start talking about – go ahead, Mary.
It's not just kids. A lot of this affects veterans. You know, we got adrenaline junkies. We love that lifestyle of being active. You're out running. You're out doing stuff. And this is what I went through when I got out of the service. I loved running but I loved it with your platoon running. We're running as a unit. We're together. That was my high, out running in the woods, having fun, singing cadences as a group. You get out, you don't have that anymore. You're running by yourself. Like with me, when I go running, I play, thanks to YouTube. They have cadences that are sung, that are recorded by groups. I'll play them when I run to get that high back and that motivation to run again. It's the same thing. You know, a lot of us dealt with different things, and this is a start to figure out where our root causes or our issues are. And the first step is to start reducing and eliminating different things that give us pleasure. And some people, you know, it can be sugar.
Right.
Coffee,
Georgia,
caffeine.
Sugar, caffeine, carbs.
I'm with my brother right now. We just came from the doctor, the neurologist, and during that conversation, even I didn't say it, Georgia, that sugar is almost like crack, but I've been reading tables, which I've never done for my life. But I've been a green person all my life. The alpha green is, and I was reading the label on the bottle of soda, I won't tell you who it was. It had 48 grams of sugar. I'm talking about in one bottle now. 48 grams of sugar, which is 2 ounces worth of sugar. and we call it the white cocaine, the white crack. So those are the kind of things that we're going to end up having a very wide-range nutritional conversation about what are you addicted to and what you don't know won't hurt you, but what you don't know is killing you. Sugar, salt, boom, 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 boom. That's too many video games. We were talking last week, everybody needs to put their phone down.
Right, it's too
man,
many things.
God will put it down. Life will put it down, okay?
You know.
We didn't even know we were phone junkies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord. And I'm not just talking about the third category of people. I'm talking about all of us guilty somehow with this phone thing.
Right.
I lost for the first time in 30 years because my phone is down and I had to go to Walmart about 30 miles away without a GPS. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I didn't need a GPS to get me found.
And that's the thing is that, you know, it's little things. It doesn't have to be the, you know, huge. It could be something as watching TV. And this is where you have to, like, sit down and start thinking about your day and your habits and what you enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
one
make
thing
a
that's
list.
Been helping me, Mary, one thing that's been helping me, sorry, is literally write down 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, so on and so forth, o'clock, and what the hell am I doing at that time? How can I make the most out of my time?
Ooh, I like that. But every moment is what it is for that particular moment, and if you blink, you'll miss that moment in time, and you'll never get a chance to get it back.
Sure.
One moment in time.
Sorry, hang on.
Wow.
Here.
Okay. I was like, where you go? Okay, there you go.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Diane gave me a call. I got to call her back.
She called me too. So, Mary, how can we tie this back under? You remember, I threw the flag over everybody earlier and called it One Nation Under Love. That's the banner. That's the flag. that we fly underneath. That there's a collaboration of the rainbow flag, the stars, the stripes, the vertical, the horizontal.
I want
everybody to know that regardless on where you are and what flag you fly under, we have one major thing in common. Let me share that with you. I hope you're listening because I'm going to whisper it to you. I'm going to tell you a secret if you promise to tell everybody that you know. We're about our Father's business. Yeah, our Father. And don't have the audacity to tell me that your Father is better than mine because we serve the same Father.
So, country boy, I got good news for you. Apparently, I'm your secretary now. Your phone is ready. Go pick it up.
Say it again?
Your phone is ready. Go pick it up.
Ah! They thought they could shut me down and stop me from talking.
Right.
Can y'all make me go on 4 days
message.
The phone? I said he talked too much. I got so much to say.
No.
Here's my last one, Mary. I got jokes, too. I read my Fourth Amendment right, and it says, you have a right to remain silent, but life is nothing but a series of choices we make. So just so you guys know, I give up my right to remain silent because everything that I say, everything that I do can be and will be used to bless somebody. So that's why I talk so much. I got so much to say.
No, you're good. After you make this list and you start narrowing down these different things, set a time limit of going without it. And you start out a couple hours or several days, and gradually increase it time as you figure out what your things are. This is where you start the elimination thing, trying to figure out where your highs are and what's causing your highs. And as you figure that out and start eliminating them, set up long time frames. And once you figure this out and you've done this and you know these are what it is, that's where you want to eliminate or limit those activities during the detox period. Eliminating them will significantly reduce those activities on your list, but also abstain from things like social media, you know, consuming those foods, screen time, all those things. It'll help reset dopamine levels back to baseline where they should be. And that doesn't mean you just sit on the couch and stare at a wall. Figure out different activities to focus on that are more productive and mindful. Because what you want to do is you want to stop doing the mindless stuff and start doing mind things. You know, exercising, like Georgette talked about last week, you know, meditating, journaling, doing different hobbies that are hands-on, because all those things will naturally increase your dopamine to where it should be and not give you those big highs and kind of level your base system out. You know, it's very important to note that the concept of this is still in this research period. It's still a trial and error. It's theories that are all running. It's not scientifically this is what you need to do. Because, you know, as what we've found as a human brain, you can't, not one size fits all. But have proven that have positive effects on being active, being around a social, not being in front of computer talking to people that you really don't know who they are. Results and all that will vary based on you and how much you want to change, how much you want to put into it, how much you want to do. And everybody got real quiet.
It's also how you want to feel. Again, while we're still talking about dopamine, if you're not feeling your best, certain foods, exercises, activities, people, places, and things can all give you feels, but you must want to feel them, and you must, again, like Mary said, unlearning to relearn new things. If you don't give yourself opportunity for growth, then what is your purpose on earth here?
No, that's the big part of things, you know, is that it's all about your mind. Your mind is the most powerful thing there is, but it only has one purpose. That is literally to keep you alive.
Protect you.
Fight or flight.
That's it. So what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it, literally. You put negative in, you're going to get negative out. And I'm not saying be positive to the point that you're gaslighting and, you know, every bad thing is turned into a positive. I'm talking about being real with who you are. Understanding bad does happen. Now taking that bad and learning from it and moving past it. You know, that's the key. You know, a lot, you know, I read about 5 posts on social media yesterday, just scrolling through it, talking about ignoring your past. Pretending your past didn't happen, and that's the key to happiness. But is it really? How can you be happy with who you are if you don't acknowledge what you've been through? Because everything you've done in your life, every thought you have is imprinted in who you are. And so if you don't...
That's the most definite. I hate cliches, but there are some that are really, really good. And what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. So some of the things that you went through was the thing that you needed to grow through to get you to where you are right now at this particular point in time in your life. We're living for today and we're not promised tomorrow, but some of the things that we went through in our past, it was preparing us for our future.
Right. And it only makes you stronger if you want it to. And you can be the cause person that sits there and looks and blames everything, everybody and everything for your issues, or you can be the effect person that says, oh, okay, this happened, now what? What's the next step? And looking for ways to improve. You know, the humans were designed by God. We were designed not to stay still. We're designed to always improve. We're designed to always look the next step, which is why we're given free will. We're social creatures. We're not designed for isolation. No, if we were designed just to sit and settle with what we've got, then we wouldn't have been given brains that were adapted and grew. See, I really thought you were going to have a comment there.
Well, I always got a cliff note that based on who you call him now, he's either going to fix it, change it, or rearrange it. but it will not stay the same in Jesus' name. Don't ask me who all the experts are, but the experts will tell you that any time that anybody attempts to change their life for the positive, it always, always before Coca-Cola, always works out for the positive. Here's the tricky part. Even if it does not work out the way that you had originally planned, but all things, not some things, all things work together for the good for those who love. Yeah.
All right, so we are almost out of time. Well, we're out of time for today. We went over today. Join us back here tomorrow at 10 Eastern, right, Georgette?
Yes, ma'am, 10 a.m.
When we can start continuing a little bit of this talk on, but also talking about minding my mental. And
the mind and my mental.
You want to talk about a little bit about what that's about tomorrow?
They're going to have to tune in for tomorrow, but just know, your mental is your everything. If you can't do it mentally, then 10 out of 10, you can't do it. Your mind makes all the shit real. So coming into that realness on who you want to be and what you want to exude, only you can prevent you from forest fires, okay? So you got to know. You got to know.
That's awesome.
You got to know how to detox, why you're detoxing, and when is the best time for you to detox.
All right.
All right. Let's get
Thank
some mental clarity tomorrow, y'all. Yeah.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Thanks for showing up, G.
Go get your phone.
Okay. I am, so I can talk plenty. Yeah. See you later, alligator.
Bye for now. How's it go? Yeah. I did.